If you take some risks, step up when the times are the toughest, face down the bullies, lift up the downtrodden, and never, ever give up. If you do these things, the next generation and the generations that follow will live in a world far better than the one we have today.
Welcome to the third Profiles of Liberty podcast, where we spotlight on veterans, on their service, their communities, and their careers. I'm Chris Fox with Chase Millsap, and today we're going to talk to Dale King, former military intelligence officer from the United States Army, founder of Team Some Assembly Required, and CEO of both Doc Spartan and the Portsmouth Kettlebell Club. Dale, welcome to the show.
Thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you for being here.
Yeah, Dale, it's good to have you on. You know, you got kind of a pretty robust background, man. You're a fitness professional. You've got some men's grooming specialist, materials with Doc Spartan, and then you're in the nonprofit world. So you're kind of like a Renaissance man of awesomeness. Yeah. Like, is there anything that you don't do?
There's several things I don't do, and I don't do them very well. So I just try to. It sounds somewhat impressive, but trust me, it's not impressive at all whatsoever.
Let's talk about some of these things that you're doing really well. Can you explain to the audience what Dark Spartan is? Is it manscaping, man grooming, or what does that really mean?
It's anything to do with man. So, okay. But not like the corny dude in like Manhattan trying to make himself, cheesy for the night. So we're like basically, I was trying to figure out ways for stuff that I like to use, but I just didn't really like how I was being marketed to.
So it's not a hipster.
We have the back of one of our man scrub labels, the directions in title, best to use while watching Chuck Norris movies. So,
all right. So you got to tell me a little bit about this. So when I'm watching a Chuck Norris movie, and obviously my beard is a little weak right now, but what kind of products do you guys have? Like, what have you designed that helped me be more of a man?
Yeah. The whole thing started with, one of the members from my gym, and it's a recurring theme. Like, anything good that's happened professionally is came from the gym. So one of the members, her husband used to be a Kiowa pilot. So we're all very, and they kind of live right down the street from us. So, you know, we understand we want to give back to the veteran calls in any way we can. And we want to make cool stuff for guys just like us. So the first thing that started was kind of like this first aid / healing ointment. Because typically in a CrossFit gym, guys are getting busted up from pull-ups or rope climbs or, you know, scraping their shins on deadlifts.
Throwing weights around, right? You know, not caring about anything else.
So it could look like a murder scene some nights. So,
damn.
We wanted to have a way for something that was completely all natural. And that really, really worked quickly to kind of heal up the wounds, because God bless CrossFitters. Like, if you tell them they can't work out for a day or so, they tend to freak out. So we wanted to have something that would quickly heal up their wounds. And that's where, like, Doc Spartan originally came from. That's all we really had an idea to sell, was the actual healing ointment. And we came up with that around July timeframe. And that's how the whole company got started. It really wasn't, an idea to be this big, huge company. It was just a way to offer members of PSKC something, you know, if they rip their hands and, hey, you know, we've got this in the storefront for you to buy on your way out.
Very cool. Nice. And can you explain what PSKC is?
Yeah, so PSKC stands for Portsmouth Spartan Kettlebell Club. It got started as a gym inside of an old abandoned warehouse, and it was like one of the first CrossFit gyms in the Portsmouth area. So PSKC CrossFit's kind of the same thing. It's just an old, well, we've upgraded our facility since 2010, but that's essentially what PSKC means.
And so we're talking Portsmouth, Ohio here. So that's like right at the edge of Southern Ohio, kind of Kentucky, West Virginia, right?
It is the epicenter of American culture, baby. Like, it's
the center of the universe out there.
So as far as I'm concerned, it's the center of the universe. It's exactly right. We're 90 miles directly south of Columbus, right on the Ohio River. Like the gym, I could throw a baseball into the Ohio River. So right in the Hatfield-McCoy epicenter.
And so were you born and raised out in Portsmouth?
Yep, sure was. Born in, born in 81, graduated from Portsmouth High School in 99.
My wife, honestly, is from Portsmouth, so you know, one of the interesting ways we got connected with Dale. But you know, after meeting her family, one of the things that they've really described is, you know, sort of the culture that was going on in Portsmouth. You know, mid '90s, there was kind of sort of an epidemic of prescription drug use. Isn't that right?
Yeah, it was. I think if you probably would Google Portsmouth, Ohio, probably the first page would be nothing about its pain pills. Unfortunately, like essentially we had the doctors who created the whole pain pill prescription epidemic really kind of started here in Portsmouth, and that kicked off right in the mid 90s. So,
had a lot of prosecutions of some of these doctors, right?
Oh yeah. I mean,
legally prescribing.
We had like 2020 Nightline, all these guys picked up on like cats were making millions and millions and millions of dollars. Just setting up pill mills, and that's
crazy.
Yeah, in Portsmouth, unfortunately, is kind of where it all started.
So, you know, obviously that's kind of obviously gone through its course now, and things have sort of settled down. But I haven't been to your gym yet. I'm waiting to go. But everything I've seen and heard kind of shows me that, you know, Portsmouth Kettlebell Club has sort of become like a fitness mecca. You know, that people sort of flock into that. You know, What gave you the idea to start a gym out in the middle of your hometown, and you know, especially when you got people that are coming out through such a hard time? What sponsored you to do that, and has it helped your community?
It absolutely has helped the community, but like everything, every good idea I've had has came from the military. Back in 07, when I was transitioning out, I was with 10th Group. I was an MI officer myself, but there was other former team leaders who were getting out of the Army as well, and we were all captains, and they just started getting into CrossFit. So we were at Colorado Springs, and this was before, I mean, there was, you know, not every state even had an affiliate. Like there's one or two per state, if that. So it was still very early on, and guys I was working with really got bit by the CrossFit bug, and it was huge within the special operations community back then. It's kind of the new thing to train guys up and get them in the best shape of their life. So as I was transitioning out, they had me start doing CrossFit, and I was like, no way, I'm not going to do it. I was much more of a lifter, power lifter kind of guy. And the two guys that got me started on it, one currently is in the FBI HRT, and then the other guy owns his own real estate company. So they were way smarter than I was. So eventually I submitted and did my first workout and ended up puking and crawling on the bathroom floor.
Yeah, nice.
Both in there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, so of course I was hooked because I was literally ashamed at how out of shape I was. And more importantly, I thought I was in shape. So really started getting involved into it that way. And at the same time, like I said, was getting out of the Army. So was fortunate enough to land a job working at a Department of Energy site close to my original hometown, which was kind of a fluke thing, but was happy to get the job. So came back home to Portsmouth after being gone for almost 10 years with college and the military, and was trying to get involved in my new civilian career. And was still trying to learn about CrossFit. So at the time, the closest CrossFit gym to me was 2 hours away, and that was Columbus. And that happened to be a small little gym called Rogue Fitness.
That's sort of grown, hasn't it? Just a bit.
It's grown just a little bit since 2007. They started out actually like Bill was the original owner and trainer of Rogue Fitness before it became the equipment manufacturer. So it used to be just a gym, and they would do free Saturday workouts. So like a couple Saturdays of the month, I would just pack up, drive 2 hours up there to work out and learn more. And then as I progressed on, Bill would be like, hey, well, I got the met up with a guy who can do metal manufacturing of gymnastic rings. And then it was, he met a, hooked up with another guy who could do sandbags. And da, 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 da. And then fast forward a couple years, he sells his gym to another guy, and then Rogue Fitness slope, you know, eventually becomes Mega Rogue Fitness.
Right. Becomes the Rogue Fitness that every gym gets their gear from at this point.
Yeah.
Bit of a history lesson today too.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, no. I had no idea.
You escaped, or I should say that you survived through your dangerous environment back in Portsmouth. You moved on to the military. You educated yourself. Then you came back to the town, kind of full circle, and brought with you this dedication to service and all this experience. Built your own business from the ground up, and now the town is starting to turn around, right?
Yeah, it's really, you can kind of sense a really new direction that Portsmouth's going. And it was kind of, I graduated in 99 and didn't come back to 2007. And during that time, like, it was just crumbling into a shithole. Like, we would always hear stories. And I mean, it was literally like, at a certain point, it was like the town was like The Walking Dead. Like, just a lot of, like, just torn, like, run down. There's a whole east end of the town that's just abandoned and or drugged housed out. And like I said, the height of that was around the early to mid 2000s. And it was depressing. Like, I was, like I said, a little small town kid, and I'm very proud of where I came from. And I was thrilled at the opportunity to be able to move back home and have a decent job. And it was, you know, everybody talks like, oh, well, Portsmouth used to be great. Portsmouth, like, and it's, you know, decline. And everybody, you know, the kids that graduate now are like, I can't wait to get out here. I can't wait to get out here. And I used to be the same way. Well, if you don't do anything, the situation is going to remain the same or get worse. And people get caught up in the fact that they have to have some sort of grandiose plan to make things better. And all it is you just got to make something you're good at, use that as a tool to make the area around you a little better. And that's essentially what I tried and trying to do still with PSKC.
Yeah, that's actually not only awesome, but extremely admirable. I mean, you're a guy obviously that, you know, did your time, you know, in the service, did your time overseas, and come home, you know, when a lot of us, I know, have felt like, okay, I'm back, it's time for me to relax a little bit, and you sort of look around and now you're talking about solving problems again.
Yeah.
Like, that's awesome, dude.
Well, I mean, it didn't always start that way. Like I said, I got bit with the CrossFit bug, and there was really only one gym in town. And so I would literally, like, I would learn some stuff from Bill, come back home, I'd, you know, always buy a piece of equipment or two. And my big thing was I fell in love with kettlebells, and at the time, like, no one had them. So I would, like, literally carry my kettlebells into the gym and have one little corner of the gym, and I would just be doing, you know, swings and snatches and burpees. And people would be looking at me like, what is this, you know, sweaty ape doing here in the corner?
People wouldn't come over to you and talk to you and just let you swing your kettlebells.
Yeah.
But then they
saw
your gains and they're like, okay, now he's onto something, right?
Yeah. So I'd be like, well, you know, just out of laziness, I was like, do you guys mind if I just leave these kettlebells here so I don't have to take them in and out all the time? And they're like, no, it's a liability issue. You have to take these. So I slowly began to grow discontent, and out of nowhere, this lady comes up to me and she's like, hey, I really have no clue what you're doing, but it looks like it's hard and it looks like it's effective. I'm opening up a new gym in town. Would you mind teaching classes there? And I was like, well, sure, why not? You know, don't have anything else to do in the evening. So she opened up a new gym in town, and then I went and did some kettlebell and some CrossFit courses. And went up to Rogue again, bought a bunch of kettlebells, and then January of 2010, we started doing kettlebell classes at her new place.
Wow.
And we had like three people would show up, five people would show up, And then by August, like we couldn't fit any more people in the room. So, one of the members of the class at the time said, "Hey, my buddy has this old abandoned warehouse that he just uses to store stuff. Would you be, you know, interested in kind of opening up your own place?" And I was like, "I'm not really like sure this is Portsmouth, and I don't know if this will work. I didn't want to get hung up in a lease. Know nothing about business. All I knew was the rent was going to be this much, so I should make sure I cover the rent."
Right, the basics, like how do I keep the lights on and get to swing kettlebells?
Like, you know? Yeah, exactly. And so in August of 2010, went and a lot of, like, the people that were still in the original gym are still members now, and they helped come, and they painted the walls, and they power washed the floors, and did all this stuff. And we opened up, and we charged $5 a workout, and that's how we started.
Wow.
So how did you navigate through the process of establishing your business and making it legit?
Fake it till you make it is a big philosophy of mine. I was almost to a point where I was like anti-business. Like, I don't want to get involved in all this. And, you know, I just want to coach. I just want to train people. And that kind of worked. But I realized, you know, over the course of a year or two being in business, that if I really wanted to make this a full-time thing, because I still worked a full-time job for the Department of Energy, so I basically would do this in the early mornings, and in the when I would get off work, one of my original members was I saw that she had a gift for coaching, so I asked her to be a coach when we opened up the place, so she would run classes as well, and we just kind of like. It was literally like people would come in and like they would give me $5 to work out, and that was cool, but it was time consuming. And then we thought, well, all right, well, here's what we need to do. Cause I was still traveling a lot for work. So it was like, all right, well, we'll do a monthly thing now, or we'll just like, hey, you can buy 10 sessions a package. And then we would like write their names on the whiteboard and X off columns. And like, I really learned the hard way through experience how to navigate the business world.
So do you feel like the military helped you prepare for sort of that uncertainty, or, you know, helped you kind of look at it and say, okay, I know I've got a problem and I've got to solve it? Or is there anything you absolutely pulled from your time?
Like our last guest, Nate Boyer, he said he made mission, you know, if he had a goal in mind, he was going to achieve it. You adapt and overcome.
Oh, absolutely. Everything of value came from the military. And you don't really realize that because they don't train you to say, okay, well, in business, this would be useful. It's, oh, well, shit. Like, you know, you, as a young, however old you were, like for me, I was early to mid 20s, serving a couple deployments in Iraq at the most important and stressful and rewarding job in the world, and like to the point to where some things are, you're coordinating, you know, national strategic level assets for operators, or you're trying to run sources, or, you know, figuring out the way a village can work as far as the different ethnic backgrounds and blah, 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 blah. And then you're like, after that, you're like, well, really nothing's going to be that hard. So if I could do that on deployment in combat, I mean, I can figure out a way to run a gym. It's not going to be that difficult.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, too, because you're working your home, right? And you've got all this experience and you kind of made that mental shift. Like, I can do this. But there's that point, too, where you got to be like, no, I'm really doing this now. And yeah. I've actually seen you post, you know, the metaphor about like burning your ships.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, no turning back. Can you kind of walk us through like what that
crossing
meant?
The Rubicon, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Excellent metaphor.
So what's that shift like?
It's like I said, 2010 is when I officially opened up my own business. And then, but I would say I was doing it as a hobby. I was doing it as a passion project, just something I really love. I love to coach people. I love CrossFit, and I love to watch people succeed, and I love to watch them become stronger and just want, you know, see that overtake their life and all the positive things that can come from that. So that's all I was really concerned with. So I would say during those first 2 to 3 years, I was really, my time was being spent becoming a master of my craft as far as being a coach. And then I felt I got really good at that and then thought, well, I can do this full time if I figure out what the hell I need to do. And what I really needed to do was grow the business. And you come to a point to where, you know, you read books like E-Myth, where it's essentially like you can only do so much as a technician. What your job is as a business owner is to find the talent for people that, in my case, that are better coaches than you and allow them to succeed more than you could ever do. And so it's just basically, you know, and as it goes back to like management and leadership, like you got to find the right guys and equip them to become the best soldiers they can. And you just manage them. And that's what running a business in my business world is finding that talent and allowing them to grow. And so I really got serious about it about 3 years into the gig. We were being successful and we grew really well. We got approached with an opportunity to buy a new building. And that was like 2.5 years ago. And that's when it got really serious for me because it wasn't like, okay, well, if this thing fails, we'll just pack up ship and I'll have a really awesome home gym for the rest of my life.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what I define failure as. It's like people talk about, oh, isn't that risky? I'm like, well, you know, yeah, you're going to fork out some money, but my worst case scenario was, well, we'll just close up and I'll have a sweet home gym.
Yeah.
But when it was like, all right, well, now, dude, you're going to go buy a building in your name at a 15-year mortgage, and you're not, like, you can't just pack up. Like, it's, like, you got some skin in the game now.
Yeah, and you've got people now working for you that depend on you for their livelihood.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that was like about 2.5 years ago. We bought the new building, and then I really became obsessed with quitting my full-time job, which, you know, we're in Portsmouth, right? We're in a town of 20,000 people. It's the unhealthiest county in Ohio, and it's also one of the worst economic performing counties in Ohio. And I happen to have a GS-13 job at the time, which is a pretty sweet gig, no matter where you're at. So it was like, are we going to give up a GS-13 job to really, you know, do this full time? And I had no other option. That's what I wanted to do. That's what I felt I was being called to do. And now it was just a matter of, you know, setting the business up to where I could break the chain and do that. And mainly it was, I looked at all the people I worked with in the federal government side, and that's what really scared me the most, because they were just like punching the clock. And they were just shuffling, like I would just watch people just shuffle their feet, literally looking down at the floor. Like, and I was like, man, I cannot do that for 30 years. Like, I just cannot, like, I'm not.
Yeah, benefits and everything else aside, like, not worth it. You know, time's more important at that point.
It's like people, like, unless you've had those experiences of, like, you know, been burned into your psyche from a young age. Like, you know what? Like, life is not guaranteed. So I'm going to go get hit by a truck tomorrow, and I worked 20 years of my life doing something I hate. You know, totally. You know, what's my, that just doesn't equate to me. So finally, June of of 15 is when I cut the cord and, you know, did full-time PSKC, Doc Spartan, and Team SAR.
Wow. Congratulations, man. It's, you're on the other side now and you're well on your way. So, you know, you're a military veteran. You've got a successful business at this point. You've got your own men's grooming line, which that's what we're going with right now.
That's right.
But, you know, there's still obviously this desire to serve in you. You're the president of Team Some Assembly Required, which is a nonprofit organization. walk us through, you know, just why, when you've got all these other things going on, you're like, no, I need more on my plate.
Yeah. Can you explain what is SAR and adaptive athletes too?
Yeah, absolutely. SAR stands for some assembly required. And we're a team of veteran and civilian adaptive athletes. And what that term means is, guys and girls who, are amputees, missing legs, arms, both, either through, combat injuries, car accidents, congenital, essentially they're overcoming an obstacle and still actively want to compete in our case, it's fitness related sports. So either CrossFit or powerlifting, Olympic lifting, triathlons, obstacle course racing, stuff like that. So guys who, you know, missing legs, arms, who still want to actively compete. That's what we do as Team SARS. We collect a team of, we're right around 20, 25 athletes right now, high level athletes, and we put them on a team where they can cross-talk, cross-communicate, learn different ways as far as ways to adapt to their certain conditions and compete all across the country. You know, we help basically the majority of the money is being spent to fund their training and their travel. And how that all got started was through an old college buddy of mine who then became an Army buddy of mine. His name's Derek Carver. We met back in college. I was a senior. He was a freshman. We were in ROTC and he was assigned to me as I was supposed to be his mentor. And
which I'm sure was very fun for him.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So like I tell people, like it was the first job I ever failed at because when you meet Derek, Derek is a one of a kind personality. So fast forward, like he theoretically should have graduated college in 4 years, but he kind of did the extended stay. And, seven or so years later is when he finally graduated.
He had to get all those lessons in, right? He had to get it. You can't leave without all the knowledge.
Yeah, most people would be a doctor. He still just had a bachelor's. So I was actually getting out of the Army, and he was now going in, getting done with infantry school and Ranger school, and was getting assigned his first platoon at the 82nd and going to Afghanistan. And basically in January of 2010, he got hit by a rocket while he was conducting a dismounted patrol and just sheared his whole leg off from the hip down. Unfortunately, some other guys lost their lives in that attack. And he was a platoon leader on the ground. And so he got hit in January of 2010. How I got involved was I happened to be in D.C. at the time for work. Through his family and different in our, you know, old friends, I was made aware that he was being flown in, you know, right off the battlefield to Walter Reed. So I was in DC the day he got flown back to Walter Reed. So I went to go see him at Walter Reed for the first time that he, you know, became stateside.
Wow.
Yeah.
It must have been huge for him to, you know, later know that you were there. I mean,
it's hard for me, you know, here's my one of my best friends ever. It's hard. Like, what are you going to not go? You know what I mean? Like, there's no option there. And
how long had it been since you'd seen him?
It had been a few years. Been a few years because, you know, Army and different stuff like that. But
and that's the way it is with our community is time could pass by. It doesn't matter if it's months or years. And once we reunite, it's like nothing's changed at all.
Oh.
That bond never breaks.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And honestly, like I had thought, like, man, I don't I'm not emotionally equipped to go see him. You know what I mean? But I went, and so he's being, you know, in and out of surgery, and he's kind of drugged up, and we're just, you know, I'm just sitting there talking. I mean, what do you do? Like, either. I didn't know what to do. I'm just,
yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, just, I'm asking him questions and just basically kind of listening to him talk. And so I was like, well, you know, what the hell happened? And so he's literally like he didn't lose consciousness at any time during the event. So he's able to recount the story to me. You know, they were out conducting a dismounted patrol and an IED went off. The IED was designed for a Humvee and they were on foot.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he remembers being, you know, doing cartwheels in the air, being flipped over. Then he's got to assess the situation, get his men out of there. So he was able to call his own medevac in actually. So he calls his own medevac in, the docs are he's losing blood, massive blood, and the docs are throwing tourniquets on him. And so eventually medevac bird comes, gets him, takes him back to the combat hospital on base. And finally, you know, he sees the doc and he's like, doc, like, don't lie to me. You know, how's it look? And the doc's like, son, I'm sorry. Like, you're going to have to lose your leg. And then Derek replies with, no shit, doc. How's my dick look?
Let's get down to the important things here. Seriously.
So he's telling me stories, and I knew after he said that, like, I knew he was all right. Like, I knew, same old Derek. I knew he was going to be fine, and he's cracking jokes, and he's doing everything he can to make me feel better. Because, you know, he saw that I was getting pretty torn up, getting pretty emotional about it. So Team SAR really started that day in Walter Reed. Derek would go through a year or so more, multiple surgeries, and eventually have to be medically retired from the Army. And about 2 years later, he was really kind of struggling, like a lot of us do, with like what to do now.
Final purpose.
Because he would have retired. Like he loved the Army. He would have stayed in and retired from the Army, but now couldn't do that. So I kind of helped him, and he's a big more meathead than I am. The dude is stacked. Like he's like without a leg. Like he's a 500-pound bench presser. Can deadlift well over 400 pounds on one leg. Like the dude's a freak.
My God. Wow.
That's something that's this passion we shared in college together. So at the time I'd been in business for a year or so and I was like, well, dude, like, listen, if I can do it, you can do it. Just go open up a gym. So he was living in Detroit at the time, which is about 3 to 4 hours away. And so I was like, dude, let's just open up a gym. I'll help you with everything you need and I'll help you get it off the ground and la, 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 la. And at the time was the Arnold Fitness Classic. And this was 2012. That's a huge fitness event, fitness expo in Columbus, Ohio every year. And they were having a CrossFit event there, around the same time he was getting ready to open up his gym. So I was like, dude, come down. You're going to compete in it with me. I'll coach you through it. And it'll be like, you know, it'll be good PR for get your name out there and let people know about your gym. Only problem was he'd never really done this before.
Right.
And, he was still kind of, you know, shy, sketchy about, having his leg out in public at the time. And, so I'm like, well, whatever. We'll figure out a way to make it happen. So he comes down and, there's thousands of people at this thing and he's just wearing sweatpants and he just kind of has a slight little limp and you can't really tell what's going on. So before we get ready to go out and his heat's ready to commence, I'm like, dude, we got to ditch the pants, man. Like the pants have got to come off.
Yeah. We're in it to win this thing. You know, no drag.
Like the old line from Gladiator, like, you know, you've got to win the crowd first.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like, no, dude, there's just no way. And I'm like, the pants has got to come off. So he ditches his pants, like, as he's walking out on the floor. And, like, the crowd just goes silent. Like, oh, my God, how's this guy? And he just crushes the first event. Like,
wow.
Flies right through it.
And what competition was this at the Arnold Classic?
It was just a CrossFit event. Like, every year CrossFit has their little side of the expo there. So there's a video on YouTube. Because depending on what you're doing, like you need to pace your activity and not kind of go full bore out of the gates. Well, he just goes full bore out of the gates. And there's a sweet video of him, and it cuts off just at the right time because 30 seconds later, he's just puking all over the place.
Hey, as long as you look cool on video, that's all that matters, right?
Super creative editing. And like, you know, of course everybody loved it because it wasn't a hand clap kind of thing. Like it was like, oh, this, you know, this combat wounded veteran, look at him. He tries so hard. No, he was like out there like to crush souls. And, and so afterwards, like, you know, people loved it. And then the next year, some buddies of ours ended up taking over the CrossFit event for the Arnold. So now we're talking 2013. And they said, hey, like that whole thing with you and Derek, that was like completely amazing. Do you think like we're going to do a team competition this year? Do you think you could find a team of six to compete? And of course we just immediately said yes without even realizing how we were going to do it. But we were like, yes, we will find a team.
You'll figure it out, right? You put an ad in the paper.
Hey. So we literally like Derek had competed in the Working Wounded Games, which is a huge adaptive athlete event in D.C., and met some contacts, and we just kind of reached out to him and said, hey, like, we need three guys, three girls, and this is not an adaptive athlete competition. It's a straight head-to-head competition where you guys will go against able-bodied CrossFitters, and we're not scaling, we're not modifying, you're just going to do whatever's asked. So that was 2013, and for the first time ever, we got a team together from all across the country, and we were trying to figure out the team name, and so Derek's like, well, how about Some Assembly Required? That's how.
This is perfect. Absolutely perfect name.
Yeah, you guys, like, you guys need to get Derek on a podcast, too. Unfortunately, he has the ability to not cuss, but he would be a good one for you guys to talk to as well. Like, you know, he's one of my heroes.
Yeah, it sounds like he's just an amazing guy.
Let's do it, and let's get this YouTube video also put on the website.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
I want to see him going after it that first time.
But just know, like, as soon as that ends, he's puking like voraciously. You know?
Oh, all right.
We'll make sure he remembers. Right? We'll Monday morning quarterback him.
Yeah. So we got a team together. And the team, you know, the team actually ended up beating a few able-bodied teams, which was awesome.
Wow, amazing.
And then, of course, the next year they asked us to come back. So this next year being last year, 2015, and we had two teams. And then we thought, well, you know, like we should probably try to do this across the country. And try to do as many events as possible. Like people need to see our athletes in action. And I always look at like our guys just want the opportunity to compete, hands down. They don't care about anything else. They don't want pity claps. They don't want, you know, applause. Like they don't want, hey, you guys are really inspiring. No, they want the ability to showcase their athleticism.
Yeah.
And I, you know, from coming to Portsmouth and just seeing like, the town had just been ripped apart by weakness. You know, people were running to pill mills and to drugs as a way to escape the reality of, you know, them not having the ability, thinking they had the ability to better their lives. And so that's always been like, it's been a huge thing for me is like the way you increase your life is through physical fitness. And I just had a long talk with one of my clients yesterday about the same thing. Like he's a 50-year-old, retired teacher who's now a college professor. And he's like, I've never felt so alive in my life than I do right now. And it's because of working out and the daily overcoming of challenging physical obstacles that gives me a self-empowering belief that I can, you know, like when you kind of get yourself out of that fog of just living life to really kind of thriving in life, you know, it opens up so many opportunities and possibilities for you. And through my experience being back here in Portsmouth and just like, listen, I'm not going to water down anything for you. Like you're going to come in here and you're going to work and it's going to be awful. but you will feel better at the end of it. You will feel alive. You will feel you have done something. And that's going to transition over into your professional family. It's going to make you better. And so with Team SAR, like we have, I look at it, Derek, of course, Derek and I are co-founders, partners in it, and he's very concerned with the athletic side of it. And I'm concerned with like showcasing our athletes to America to show like, hey, it's okay. Like you can get through this. If there's other guys out there with way worse situations, you just need to realize, stop making excuses for yourself. Don't feel sorry for yourself and really be appreciative and thankful for the gifts you have with your body to go out there and do something great with your life. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
Where do we get to see you guys? Cause you know, like we're obviously all over the country, right? So, you know, this is the kind of thing that I want to see. You know, I want to be able to go in there and not only that, but compete, you know, and see these guys go. So do you guys have anything coming up soon?
Yeah.
That you're going to be out?
The best way to keep abreast of the team is through Instagram. And we showcase what our guys are doing, and that's just at Team Some Assembly Required.
Team Some Assembly Required on Instagram.
Yep, that's the best way to keep up with everything. But fortunately, in 2 weeks, it's Arnold Classic time again. And that's
nice.
Yeah, that's we just got back. Actually, we were in Austin, Texas for a little bit. We did a complete firearms and fitness event with our good friends from Rogue American Apparel down in Texas. Then we went to Portland for a couple days to speak at a veterans conference. And now we're gearing up for the Arnold Fitness Classic in Columbus, Ohio on March 5th. And that is our showcase. It's like one of our biggest events of the year. And we've got 15 of our athletes coming down. We've stacked the deck with one full team of adaptive athletes. And then this year we have three other teams. So we're rolling out a hybrid team idea. So we're taking three guys or girls from Team SAR and then pairing them with three able-bodied CrossFitters to kind of show, it doesn't really matter. Like they don't need their own little category or anything like that. Like these guys are plug and play. And are probably better athletes than the majority of folks out there. So we're really excited. We've got like four different teams this year.
Nice. So if listeners want to support you or participate, what's the website they need to go to for Some Assembly Required?
Super easy. Just teamsomeassemblyrequired.com.
Okay.
Like you can email us. You can figure out anything you want to do. All our contact info is right there on the website.
Okay, everybody go check that out. And the last time I looked at the website, you guys had an Adams Arms rifle for raffle.
Yeah.
What's going on with that? That's what I want to know about.
But if you've not been notified, you're the winner. You didn't win.
Oh, we were hoping this was our shot.
Yeah, man, that was it's funny. Like we've just recently became a 501c3. A few months back, and that was
Congrats.
A whole process.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. You guys know what all that entails, and you know it's
not as easy as they say it is.
It's super not easy, and like it's a lot of paperwork.
Especially in the state of California,
man, it's nuts. It's nuts, and so it's just one of those things. Again, it's like, okay, well, where do you go to learn about becoming a nonprofit? Like, well, it's called hard work and research, and so that's essentially what we did. We got involved with a lot of good people. And because of that, we had several, we know a lot of people in the veteran owned business community. And that's something that I can't, express enough. It's that fraternity, that brotherhood of guys who serve and then open up their own businesses. They want to see each other succeed. And one of our biggest supporters is a company called Rogue American. They've been the main corporate sponsor of Team SAR since it began 3 years ago. And through Wes is the owner of that company, and through all his connections got us hooked up with Adams Arms. And then Adams Arms unveiled this incredible 308 custom rifle at the SHOT Show a month or so ago. And we put it online through a raffle, and it basically within a month, we raised $17,000 off of a, off of a rifle.
Good for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And like, we, it wasn't our idea. We at like, Adams Arms came to us with Wes. It's like, hey, we got this crazy idea. They're doing it for some other, other charities and nonprofits. And, we're just very blessed and thankful to be a part of it.
Well, that's awesome, man. You know, and I'll be watching out for when you guys get back to the Classic. So, you know, Dale, I just want to say thanks for bringing you on here and, you know, taking the time to kind of talk through your experience. You know, I guess, you know, one of the last things that, that Chris and I always ask, you know, everybody that comes on is, you know, the world seems like the boogeyman's out there, right? And that, that, you know, those things are crazy and, you know, and there's no doubt that there's problems, but, you know, is there anything that keeps Dale King up at night and, you know, that's really on your mind, you know, that you, you'd like to reach out and tell people about?
It's how can we do more? It's not a matter, like, yeah, I get all that, man. Like, the world's coming to an end and it's terrible. And like, if you kind of look at, if you kind of look at like who the Republican and Democratic candidates are for, are running right now, like it totally plays right into that. But you know, in the day, like in the recent wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, I think it's something like 0.5% of the population have served. And you know, people get bummed out about that number, but you know, like that 0.5 is going to do a lot of great things in the next few years. I was able to listen to a Tom Brokaw speech a few years back after he wrote The Greatest Generation. And his whole point was, it wasn't the fact that those millions of guys served in World War II and beat Nazi Germany. And it was the fact that those guys came back and they became principals. They became business owners. They served their communities. And that's what we really have to understand is when our guys come back now, like you can feel isolated and you can feel alone because there's not that many of us who did that. But now, like it's game time now. Like our service is not over. If anything, it's only going to increase. Like our time to serve is now. The minute we really get out and how can we help each other? But more importantly, like, we have the tools, we have the skill set, we have the experience. Like, it's our responsibility to lead our communities. And if we are leading our communities, then we're going to be leading our country.
Yes, sir. That's what VFL is all about. So I'm going to leave you with a quote here from Thomas Jefferson, who was known to have the strength of three men. Very big guy.
Not unlike yourself.
And a ginger, by the way. So he said, if the body be feeble, the mind will not be strong. And Dale, our guest here, that's what he's doing in his community. He's making people stronger, both inside and out. And he's doing a great service to his community. So thanks for being here today. Thanks for sharing your story. We're going to put your website and find that YouTube video and share that with the audience as well.
Totally.
Awesome.
Thanks, brother.
Guys,
keep up the good work. You're killing it out there.
Yeah, no, you guys are killing it, and I appreciate what you guys are doing for the community. So thank you all very much.
The Profiles of Liberty podcast is a production of veteransforliberty.org. Please be sure to like us on Facebook and share our webpage with your friends. And while you're there, check out our store for some fun new t-shirts and other products that help fund our operation. Thanks for listening.